your commentary.
Okay, so here's the thing. So my wife the other day, while I was at Steel City Con, she's like, hey, the mailbox flew off the house, right? Like, it broke in the storm, right?
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, well, shit. So I'm like, all right. So the next day I'm at work and I stop and I buy a mailbox and I just send her a text that says mailbox acquired. And she goes, whoop, whoop, back. To which I reply with a gif of some dude being like, and here we found a new juggalo. Like, and it's like a dude in a clown mask.
Oh, no.
And she replies back with a hatchet man. And I get home and I'm like, do you even know why I sent the juggalo joke? And she's like, no. And I'm like, so their like call sign is whoop whoop.
Yeah.
And she's like, no. And I'm like, yeah. Yes. I'm like, how did you not know this?
Music. Yeah.
So then it gets better. So I then I'm like, well, you know what? I haven't listened to ICP since like Bizarre came out. I think that was the last record. Wow. Right. And they've had like five more, I think, since then.
Yeah.
Because they had Wrath, the two Wrath, mm-hmm. Boom Bang Pow.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think actually there's two more, I think, after that.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, I'm just gonna listen to it on like a random mix on Spotify.
Yeah.
And up comes the song Chop Chop Slide.
I love that song.
Okay. but in the beginning of it, there's the part where they're like, what's our call? Woo, woo. And then they're like, all right, we're gonna clap four times and sound the call. Whoop, 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 whoop. And I sent her a link to the song and I'm like, I hope you understand this now.
Nice.
All right. Welcome everyone to the Toddcast. I hope you enjoyed this fun story.
What a start to the
right podcast. We're having fun
ICP talk. Yes.
Man.
Since right. We're talking about late 90s.
Right. Man, like, I used to love those guys. Like, up through Bizarre, I listened to very frequently. I think Jekyll Brothers was the last one that I really, really liked, though.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really like the Bizarre records. And then they came out with, like, whatever the fuck the song was. They talked about magnets. And it was like, what the hell is this?
Oh, yeah.
They're like, magnets, how do these work?
Although the one about to catch a predator is hilarious.
Oh yeah, that was pretty hilarious. That's too. Pretty I think Boom Bang Pow might be the best post
Joker's
post
card.
Record. Well, it's a new Joker's card. Right. I read into this because I was like, wait a minute, didn't the Dark Carnival happen and all this shit happened? Blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, so they finished the first deck.
Deck.
Of Joker's
okay,
cards.
Okay, so this is a new deck.
And this is a new deck of Joker's cards. And I'm just like, how does this even work? And like, you know, because like a lot of people think they're like, oh, they're like real crazy and it's bad. And I'm like, actually, a lot of their stuff is like making fun of the fact that like people take things too seriously.
Yeah.
And it's all about retribution and stuff like that, which is.
And positivity.
It's which I always find really ridiculous when there's songs that, like, talk about, like, you know, stabbing people and, you know, chopping people with axes and stuff. But
if we're going to keep comic book relevant, I did enjoy their comic book series. Was it early 2000 there?
I never read it, but I heard it was good.
Yeah, the art was cool.
It was in that little chunk of time where I really wasn't into, like, I was out of comics before I got real back into them.
Yeah, so. It's like I dated a couple of Juggalettes back in the day, and I ended up buying them for gifts and stuff, and the girls loved them to death. So
I also love the song Juggalo Juice, by the way. That if anyone ever needs to hear a love song to the Faygo brand, that is it.
That is it. Yes.
I mean, they literally sound off every single Faygo flavor. It's insane.
Yeah.
So, all right. So let's talk about some stuff coming up. we're done talking about ICP unless anyone else wants to toss out of there, but I just found it funny. I always consider myself Juggle Light, by the way. Like, I'm not full into the, I'm not going to like go to the Gathering of the Juggalos, but I do enjoy them every once in a while.
I do hear there. That is one hell of a party.
I do too. I hear that. So anyway, so we have coming up, well, firstly, this weekend is Easter. So all the stores are closed on Sunday, just so you know. Don't try to come to one of our stores. I already had somebody call one of the stores, and I'm like, nope, we are all closed. On every single one of us is closed on Easter. And they were like, okay. But the following Saturday, the 15th, yes, Justin's going to be over at Two Groovy Toy Show in Munhall, I think it is. It's going to be a good time. We're going to have some toys. We're going to have some, like, $3 bins. We're gonna have some discount stuff. It's gonna be awesome sauce. Go and check it out.
And there will be plenty of NDC signage for all to see.
Yes, yes.
And I and since we're talking ICP, I might face paint myself as Violent J
for no reason at all.
For no reason at all.
I will say
with a mohawk.
Wait, stop. Hold on. Going back real quick. I do enjoy Violent J songs way more than I like Shaggy songs. Just throwing that out there. And he can sing. That dude actually sing.
He does. All right. He has a good set of pipes. So
the 16th of April, we're going to have the Pittsburgh Comics and Collectibles show out in Monroeville. We partner with Time Space Toys out there. It's going to be right by their store in that hallway in the corner. There's going to be, I believe, extra security from the mall there. And maybe even a couple cops just to walk around anyway, just to hang out. So go and check that out. I know there's at least 20 vendors already signed up, and they can take a little more. So if you're interested in signing up, go check it out. It's going to be good. The following weekend is the warehouse sale. First one we've done since the pandemic. Tons of freaking books. It's going to be awesome. Lots of Marvel and DC for those of you who are curious. Then we got a couple weeks of nothing. Nope, sorry. We have 2 weeks after that is Free Comic Book Day, which is going to be insane. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, it's a celebration of comic shops. Come check it out. We do not do any sales on that day. We just have a bunch of free comics for you. And then a month later, literally 1 month later from that, 4 weeks in time, where Justin and I will get much more gray hair than what we have.
That's why I dye it blue.
Right. See? And that's eventually I'm going to be like, I think I'm starting to get it right here and right here a little. And I'm like,
are you going to do the dime bag red?
I might just. Like shave the rest of this off and just do the colored goatee. If I start going gray, that's what I'm going to do. I promise. You heard it here first. So anyway, Three Rivers Comic Con, gonna be a good time. 2 days, lots of comics. Tomorrow we're actually announcing Tom Zaylor, who is an artist and writer, is going to be there. He has worked on with Love and Capes, My Little Pony, Cupid's Arrow, and he's also written for Disney for Spider-Man Web Warriors. He actually did one of their season finales. So check that out. He's a super awesome dude. And his art is cartoons. Like he considers himself a cartoonist because he does have more of a cartoony vibe to him, but it's awesome. Definitely go check it out. And other than that, I mean, I'm looking at the map. We don't really have a lot of space left. So if you are on that list of vendors that keep ignoring our emails for contracts, you should probably not do that anymore. You should probably buy your space. So, yeah. All right. We have a lot of comics to talk about. We have a lot of other stuff to talk about. So we're going to dig into comics first. Real quick, I do want to thank Sora Sung for coming out to Waterfront yesterday for the release of her Cardinal Confessions book. This is number one signed by her. We did stock up a couple extras because we sold out at the store. So Waterfront has a couple extras if you want to go check it out. We're going to try to have some of these in a couple of the other stores too, for those who want to check it out, as she will be a guest at the show. I already have this. Like, here's the thing though. Like, if you already bought, if you did the Kickstarter or bought the full graphic novel of this from her back years ago, this is just chapter one out of it. So if you already own it, you can buy it in singles, or you can just keep buy your graphic. Keep your graphic novel. But she will be Sunday only at Three Rivers Comic Con.
There you go.
So, all right, give me a second because I forgot to put all the photos together.
Yeah, this week was a very busy week. And as far as comic announcements, heavy in the pop culture, you know, releases. What we got the, what was it, 2 weeks ago, it was John Wick came out. Last week, D&D came out. This week is the Mario Brothers movie.
And week before John Wick was Shazam.
So we're getting that one big, you know, pop culture movie.
Yep. Next is after Mario this week. I think the next one is Guardians on Free Comic Book Day weekend.
That's so true.
Yep. All right. Let's talk about some comics and shit. Not actually shit, but you know.
Unless it's a comic book about shit.
Which... I mean, you could talk about. I mean, to be fair, my first book is Doom Patrol, and they have definitely actually talked about shit before. Whoops. I gotta grab the right book so I know what I'm talking about. This book was pretty good. If you have no idea who the Doom Patrol are, you can easily pick this up and kind of get a ballpark of who they are. Or if you've watched the TV show, you'll know who most of these people are. So you got Robot Man, Mr. Negative, or Negative Man, Elastawoman. You have Jane as her alter ego as Chief. That's her with the little orange mask there. And then brand new to the team is Beast Girl. So in this episode, they're driving into Gotham City, they pull into Gotham City, and everybody's like, "Hey, get out of here! We don't need you. We have Batman. Like, what the hell?" this monster like blows out of a building, and they run to check it out. And here it's the Brotherhood of Evil behind everything, because the Brain and the French-speaking gorilla that I can never remember his name, and the old the doctor, whatever his name, the mastermind guy, are all behind all this. And it's crazy. It kind of works out like a almost like an X-Men or Avengers book. It reads a lot like that for this story. Huh. So that helps you kind of get through, like kind of figure out who's what. The monster they're facing is a negative energy monster. Mr. Negative sends his negative energy that's inside of him to try to fight the monster, and the monster kicks it back at him, and he's like, "What the hell? That's never happened before." Batman shows up, and they're just like, he's like, the Justice League has this. He's like, the League was a group of aliens, monsters, Amazons, and Atlanteans, and then just some humans with gadgets. Like, we're better than that. And Batman's like, "What the hell?" And he's like, "The only metahuman you actually have is too fast to catch." They show the Flash like run by. It's pretty funny. It's actually kind of quite hilarious because Batman and Robin both show up. The art is actually by Chris Burnham, which is also cool because he did Batman Inc. With Grant Morrison, and a Peacemaker shows up. Or like, I think they're actually Task Force X. Like, there's a Task Force X tie-in to this. But it was very good. I really enjoyed the shit out of it. It's not quite as funny as the TV show, but it is very good. So,
okay.
All right. I'm going to let you read your book, and I'm going to run downstairs and grab a drink while you do it. So,
all right.
Be right back.
All right. Now, this is probably my independent book of the week here. Codename Ric Flair, number one. And it caught my eye just because this past weekend was WrestleMania for all you wrestle followers. So I thought this was appropriate. So I'm reading through it, and it's exactly a comic book that I think Ric Flair himself would write. And obviously he approved of it. He let his image and his name used. So, you know, it's all good. This is not like the Chaos WWE books or the WWE Boom books. This is more, the story is, he is at the beginning, Ric Flair is not Ric Flair. He is like just a down and out wrestler. And he's awful and he's pathetic. And, but he gets scouted by the US military that kidnaps him. They inject him with drugs and kind of basically Captain America him. But instead of being for truth, justice, the American way, they're like, you're going to be, he's like rich and totally 80s flair with, he wants a harem of women and limousine and, you know, the whole Stalin profile and, you know, all the Ric Flairisms you can throw are in this book. But he turns into this spy. The US military uses him as a spy. And he happens to be like, this is like a cooler version of James Bond than James Bond. He's just like, I'm like the best spy ever, who happened to also be a really awesome wrestler. Like his mission that they show in this issue is he outdrinks a bunch of Russians, literally outdrinks them. Like they're drinking Molotov cocktails, like literally just drinking them. And he just outdrinks Russians. And then he goes, he blows up their secret military like installation. This is all like in the 80s-ish type era. So, because this is when Ric Flair became Ric Flair. So, like, this isn't like up to date type. So,
it's not a secret origins of Ric Flair.
Well, it is. Like I said before, it's like, the beginning of this book, he was a down and out loser who couldn't wrestle or shit. He was just like a beat, like one of the, you know, guys that gets beat up all the time. But the military actually made him into Ric Flair. Like they Captain America to him without the truth, justice, in the American way. This was more, I want hot women. I want millions of dollars. I want luxury. And it's like, like I said, this is like, reading this is like reading, you kind of wish that Ric Flair was young enough to actually put this out on WWE TV. I would watch the shit out of this. This would have been like the greatest thing in pro wrestling in a long time. And it's, I enjoyed it. I'm like, I'm curious to see where this goes from here.
I mean, they could still.
Yeah, I don't know if this is a one shot or not, but I was like, if you're a fan of wrestling and Ric Flair and ridiculousness, get this. It's you will laugh your ass off. It is definitely one of those, oh, okay, you made a comic book about this. Cool. So there we go.
That's awesome. I still need to read that book.
Yeah. Oh, you'll love it, John. It's definitely up your alley.
Awesome. Well, another book that was right up my alley is this freaking amazing Planet of the Apes book.
Now, when did Marvel get this, the rights to this? Because
this came with the Fox deal.
Okay, because I didn't Boom Studios have
Planet
of the Apes for a long, because again, this me being the Amazon guy, we have all the Boom Studios Planet of the Apes graphic novels listed. So if anybody needs any graphic novels from Boom Studios, Planet of the Apes,
right?
Order them from Amazon.
So this is Dave Walker and Dave Wachter. Dave Wachter from Pittsburgh, Dave Wachter drawing it. The story is actually pretty good. It kind of follows more the newer movie stuff where like there's the retrovirus that turns into the simian flu, and then they have like the apes overthrow everybody. But instead of focusing on Caesar, it's focusing on another chimp who befriends like this lady who's in like the military and is trying to protect what left of chimps there are, because people think because it was the simian flu that they need to kill all the apes and the monkeys, even though the simian flu was actually developed by man as an Alzheimer's treatment that just made monkeys really smart. And then that's kind of where it's at. The art in this book is absolutely fantastic.
Is it the same as the cover here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can tell that I love the details of the wrinkles of the apes, and it looks pretty sweet.
And this like goes into like you don't even really get to see like real smart apes till almost the end of the book. It's a lot of epilogue and like what's happened in the last couple years, because like it happens in 2015. But it keeps flashing back to like the last 4 years before that. And then you find out like the girl knows how to communicate with some of the apes. This whole book is just absolutely good. It's just mind-blowingly well done. And I enjoy it. If you're a fan of the movies, now I have only ever seen the first of the new movies, so I can't really talk to the other ones. Yeah, but this one was like, but it was really good. It was really, really good.
I was going to say, I can't comment on it because I only saw the first one. And even that, it's been a while since I saw that first one.
Yeah, so, I think I'm going to try to watch them again and see if I can find that last one. So, all right, your next book.
All right. Joe Fixit, number four. Well, what is it? The last time I think we talked about this was Kingpin's trying to take over Vegas and Joe Fixit kicks his ass and pisses off Indeed. Kingpin. And then he induces the Hulk into a rage with some sort of chemical, rage inducing chemical. Well, what was it? The Hulk does the Hulk thing where he goes back into him and himself, and him and Banner are like fighting each other a little bit. And Spidey's trying to, he's getting caught in the middle of this. Well, Joe and Spidey come up with a little plan to kind of get back at Kingpin. Meanwhile, Kingpin is trying to bully all the, remaining casino owners with Rhino and Electro, as you can see here, trying to, you know, take over Vegas, you know, the usual. This time in the episode four here, or issue four here, they come back and they try to unmask Spidey, And when they do, Spider-Man literally paints his face the color, like the exact color scheme and pattern as his costume. So you don't actually see his face. Okay. You just see it continue. So they still have no idea who the frick Spider-Man is, you know, shocking. They try to enrage Joe with the the substance again. Mm-hmm. This time they got smart. They put filters in his nose so it didn't affect him. So he starts beating on Kingpin again, and then Rhino's like tries to join in, so he's fighting off Rhino, and Spidey's taking care of Electro. So it's a very action-packed issue. I'm really enjoying this whole series so far. This is really solid. It's a lot of old school Hulk, with him talking to Banner, talking to himself and fighting against himself. But at the same time, I love the twist with him battling Kingpin in Vegas and trying to take over Vegas and everything. So I'm really...
It's awesome.
It's a really solid, again, I wish regular Hulk was like this. I'd be a lot happier. But for those who like enjoy the Peter David Hulk, you will not be disappointed in this series. So
good. So I love me some Peter David Hulk.
Yes.
All right. My last book, Spider-Man, number 7. So this book, I started reading this series when it came out. I got like 3 issues in and was like, I don't really need another Spider-Verse book in my life. But then it was like, new character. So I'm like, well, I guess I need to read this and figure out what the hell's going on. Well, it's the end of the arc, which is cool. Okay. And Dan Slott resets all of the Spider-Verse from ever happening. Like, all the Spider-Verse guys that died are back. Silk kills, or thinks she kills Morlun, which sets all the spiders back to where they need to be. Which is cool, because, like, Mayday's back, and all the other spiders are there. Spider-Ham. And they have to fight... The main bad guy is actually a giant wasp. And her name is... where did it go? Shathra. And she's the big black spider or wasp lady looking right there. So she's actually been the one behind all this. And they figure out that a Peter Parker is the one to defeat her, but they don't know which one, and they can't find the one from 616 because he's been missing still. So all of the Peter Parkers attack her at one point, and she's like ginormous. And then Miles shows up on the Spider-Mobile, not the spider buggy, Spider-Mobile, and the Spider-Mobile talks like speed buggy.
Oh god.
Because at one point they're like, how did you get here? And Miles is like, oh, well, Spider-Mobile, like, basically, like, Tokyo drifted into the across dimensions. And Silk's like, how is that even possible? And Spider-Mobile goes, easy, out of all the Papa Peters in the Spider-Verse, I'm the best Papa Parallel Papa Parker.
Oh,
best,
God.
Best terrible joke. Very Dan Slott. Wow. Good job, Dan.
Very Dan Slotty. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
that's why I can't read them.
Right? So they kill her. The first spider totem comes back and gives them this like golden spider token to bring people back. And they bring back Spider-Woman. They figure out where Peter Parker 616 has been. They bring back Kane, the Scarlet Spider. And they bring back Spider-Boy. And they're like, who the hell is this guy? And he's like, don't you remember me? Like, all this stuff. And Madam Web is like, I think he's been gone so long that his past will always remain a secret, but he'll know about all of us. So Spider-Boy is now this new character, and he's only in like two pages this whole thing. Okay. Right.
So this is cameo. So next issue will be full first appearances.
Well, he was on the secret cover, so it's technically this will probably count as his first full appearance. Because people will be like, "Oh, that was his first full appearance because he's also on the cover." this book was a lot of fun. I love Dan Slott when he's writing Spider-Man for the most part. He did get a little drawn out toward the end of his last run, like after Superior, but this book reminded me a lot of like the earlier, like when he first took it over the first time, like amazing, and it was really fun. The Spider-Boy is in here, and his name is Bagley, I think. He's like, "It's me, Bagley."
Wow,
Bailey.
Okay. Bailey.
He's like, "What are you talking about? I'm right here. It's me, Spider-Boy. Pete, Miles, hello. We've been on millions of adventures together. Guys, you know me. It's Bailey." And then they're like, he's like, "Really? After everything we've done? You know what? Screw all of you. I'm out." And they're just like, "What the hell?" It was actually pretty funny. Okay. How they did everything, and I enjoyed it. I thought it was a fun read, and that's really why I read comics, is I want it to be fun.
That's true.
Yep. All right, your last book. My last book.
Yeah, of course I had to do Wolverine.
Wolverine.
Yes, if you couldn't tell by the background, my sexy looking standee.
Jeez.
My next one is Hugh Jackman is going to be coming hopefully soon.
You're going to take that Wolverine standee and just put like a little band-aid over his nose?
Yeah.
Wear sunscreen, kids.
All right. Anyway, this Wolverine 32. Like I said, I've been reading this one since the start. Little rough in the beginning, but it's really full on his own story aside from all the X universe stuff going on, other than X Factor. It's X Factor and Wolverine are very interlinked throughout the whole run here. So last time Beast has lost his mind basically, or he's just turning evil. I can't tell. But he's not like Dark Beast where he's just maniacally insane. He's doing this cold, calculated villain thing going on. Basically, he has cloned multiple Wolverines that basically mindless and do whatever he tells them to. He cloned himself so they could think and maintain order with the Wolverines, and then he's just overseeing all of it. Now, Wolverine in this issue is the beginning of this issue is a lot of Beast doing his thing with the Wolverines, and I think last issue he took a piece of Krakoa and turned it into this giant skeleton being, and it just walks the floor of the ocean around Krakoa. And inside the skeleton it's a walking fortress basically with a skull head. It opens its mouth and Wolverines come out, attack whatever they can attack, then they come right back in and they attack a sub doing this. The sub has Havoc in it because Havoc's trying to steal from Krakoa because mercenary, you know, trying to steal all the Krakoa flowers, some of them, for, you know, because all that stuff is worth big money in the black market. He gets his ass beat by a bunch of Wolverines And he's killing all these multiple Wolverines. He's like, you're him, but you're not him. You smell like him, but there's no thought in his head. There's no, you know.
Right.
He's trying to figure out what's going on. Meanwhile, Wolverine confronts Xavier and the whole mutant council, pretty much telling Xavier to go F off. Because they let Beast have carte blanche with X-Force, and now it's gone too far, and now Beast is doing things whenever he wants to do. So it ends with, you know, Wolverine says, I'm going hunting, and Shink, you know, that's the last page. So I'm really looking forward to see how far this goes. It's really, really good. Very Wolverine, you know, very, very Wolverine. That's all, awesome. You know, it's exactly what Wolverine fans should expect out of the book. All the complaints about, like, the X run in its current era, Wolverine and X-Force have not been disappointing in my eyes. So that's the way I have to look at it on that end. It's like, if you don't know anything about the current Hickman run, and after that, his involvement in the run, it's been really good. I'm enjoying, who's writing it? Is it still Percy? I think it's still Percy still writing.
Don't know. I'm not reading it, so.
Yeah, I think it's still him. I don't pay attention when I start getting into the series, so I'm assuming.
Right. Oh, and honorable mention this week that you should be picking up and reading Exo Manowar, Unconquered, number one, Becky Cloonan, Liam Sharp, Exo at his finest. He is back, boys, and it is awesome. I mean, it is like full 90s Exo Manowar vibe. Like,
there you go. It's exactly what all of our Valiant fans want, is that 90s goodness there.
Right, because right now the only way you can do it is if you read like the freaking omnibuses.
Yep.
Because they re-released it like that. Like, you can get all the Jim Shooter stuff that's pretty good. So anyway, all right. So we have a couple things to talk about. We'll talk about the non-spoiler stuff first. So first we're going to talk about the Blue Beetle trailer. So I really like the trailer a lot. I think it's got like Shazam potential, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, I see the humor.
Yeah.
But I think that's going to be the whole point of where DC is going to start trying to make get their niche into it, is we're not going to, you know, go from serious to humorous like Marvel did, where everything was super serious. And now, you know, now they're trying to put jokes into everything.
That's not really true. Like the first, like there were jokes in the other ones. They were just,
I think they were subtle.
They were way more subtle. Goofy. Yeah. They did not set out to make a comedy. They set out to make a semi-serious thing.
I liked it. I'm not like a huge Blue Beetle fan, but
me either.
But to be fair, it's, you know, I'm not a huge DC, like, unless it's certain characters involved with, like I said, Dr. Fate, give me the demon, you know, maybe some Spectre action. I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Stuff like this, I'm like,
okay,
I'll see it, but
let me put this into perspective for you. The last time we had a live action Reyes version of Blue Beetle was in Smallville.
Okay.
There's one episode.
I never watched a lot of Smallville, so
there's one episode of Smallville that has that has both Blue Beetle and Booster Gold in it, right?
Okay.
Because Skeets is like he's just like a Bluetooth headset. He actually kind of looks like Aloy's focus on Horizon.
Okay.
But if they don't put Blue Beetle at least, or I'm sorry, Booster Gold at least as a end credit scene character,
yeah,
this movie will suck. I don't care. I don't care how good it actually is. Like,
yeah,
and I don't even like Booster Gold that much.
Yeah,
but if they don't do that, there's going to be such a fan backlash.
Oh yeah,
that it's not even going
to
be.
Well, I have to say, like from what I saw, they're staying pretty true to the character as far as,
yeah,
you know, a weapon of mass destruction. You know. In a
developed
little,
by Cord Industries. Yeah.
So it's, they're saying as true as they can as far as that goes. So that's awesome. I'm glad they're not deviating from it at that point. You know, I like them staying with the proper character. Like, you know, they're not trying to change the character up any. It seems like exactly the way Hemi is in, like, I watched the animated stuff, animated DC stuff, and it seems very similar to hit the Blue Beetle in the Teen Titans era. So I think this is probably going to be where we're going to start getting Teen Titans more in the movie scene than small screen.
I think that it's, like I said, I think it's going to have a very Shazam vibe. And I like that. I think it's going to work for them. And I just really hope it, I just hope they keep the momentum on it.
Yeah.
So I hope the trailer didn't give everything away. And that's really.
This already, the effects already look way better than the, The Rock's movie, so
yeah. I don't know. I think Black Adams look fine, except for the very last villain part.
Yeah,
that's the only part, was like the last villain scene. I'm like,
but I could tell already by the preview that they've polished this.
Yeah,
it's not they're not half-assing it, and then they'll fix it later. You know, it looks like they got the finished product done.
Yeah,
so that's a plus. For it. Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. He looks like Blue Beetle. I like the weapons. Like that sword scene is pretty sweet. So, you know, but then again, we kind of got teased a little too far with these teaser trailers, and then we see the movie and we're like, yeah, we were showing the best parts of this movie.
Yeah, really, that's my worry. Yeah. Especially with DC.
Yeah, it's like, oh no.
All right, so
crossing fingers, this should be a new day.
Yeah.
This could be the dawn of new DC, and it'll be way better.
Yeah.
So
I'm looking forward to it. So
yeah,
we'll see how it goes. The next trailer we're gonna talk about is for Secret Invasion, which is Disney Plus TV series, miniseries. And it comes out like, what, 3 months, 2 months, 2.5 months?
Something like that, June.
Yeah, so like 10 weeks, approximately 10 weeks from now.
Probably like when we have the con, the week of the con, that'll be the first episode, I think, something like that.
No, it's 21st of June. So it's a little bit further back.
Okay.
It's after Heroes Con, so...
Okay.
Which is also the same weekend as Awesome Con, which I found out. So we'll see how that goes. Yeah. But anyway, I am a very big fan of the comic book series Secret Invasion. Like, it was like the first really big thing, like when I really started getting back into comics, that I was like, holy shit, this is cool.
Yeah.
Because I got in right after Civil War. Like, I started coming back more right after Civil War, right? Or middle of Civil War. It was like I missed that first Winter Soldier, like, by, like, this much, right?
Huh.
So, Anyway, so I really like this, the series, like the comics mean a lot to me because it led into like a lot of good stuff. It led into Dark Avengers, it led into Siege, it led into Heroes, Heroes like the Heroic Age, like all these very big Marvel, like the renaissance of Marvel being awesome, right? So the things I like about the trailer are, like, we're pretty sure that most of the Skrulls that we see talking are just the older versions of the ones from Captain Marvel, right? It's the couple from Captain Marvel, and we're pretty sure that Amelia Blunt's kid is the kid, like his daughter, Talos's daughter, right? That's the rumor. From the trailer, though, I thought it looked, it's basically like a Nick Fury miniseries is what we're going to get.
Yeah.
Which, okay.
Well, I'm a fan when he is involved. When it's not Avengers heavy, like per se, like his involvement with the Avengers was fine, but his one big, I want to say big movie moment was during the Captain America Winter Soldier arc. Mm. And I really loved that because it wasn't just about Cap. It was about
the fall of S.H.I.E.L.D.
The S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra. And, you know, and I think that's one of the reasons why that's, to me, was probably easily the best Marvel MCU movie. Mm. Sorry, guys. I know I'm going to get shit for it. But I don't care
that's definitely like top tier for me.
Yeah, because like,
it's not number one, but it's definitely way up there.
I was like, it was action. It had espionage. It had everything you ever wanted in this kind of deal, and it was put together well. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, it wasn't. There were world app like consequences. There was. Ultimately a big bad to a degree. You had heroes come and save the day. Mm. You know, it was a little bit of everything. And Nick Fury was part of that. Mm. You know, him, that the vehicle scene is probably one of my favorite scenes in Marvel MCU, like period, is like, they're sitting there trying to gang up on him in his car, pounding on the car. And he's finally like, hold, and then he's like, okay, now, and he just kills like 20 guys with his gun and then shoots off.
Yep.
You know, that if there's more of that in this series, I'm down with it. I just don't want to, I hope they're just not going to do this whole, okay, we're going to be cloak and dagger, but we're not really actually going to do nothing. It's going to be like 60 minutes of them just sneaking around and not doing a damn thing. And I think that would kill. This would, for all those people who are like, well, She-Hulk killed it, or this killed it, the MCU stuff. No. If you have a secret invasion, this better have some appearances. There should be some appearance by Avengers, number one, I think. You have to have at least one or two of them help.
I don't think so, though. I think this takes place during the blip.
Is it the blip? Okay. I'm not sure. I don't know for sure.
I got that vibe. A vibe because they were like, where are the Avengers?
Okay. Well, so, if it's before then, never mind. You know, But definitely more Nick Fury a la Captain Winter Soldier movie. I know he's up there in age, so I'm not expecting him to, you know, do flying flip kicks and shit like that. I don't expect that, but I do expect him to kick a little ass here and there. Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what, you know, I'm still hoping maybe the appearance of Sword, you know, Sword appearance. We'll get some, was it Abigail Brandt appearance?
Doubt it, but okay.
Well, I could see it just because you are dealing with extraterrestrials.
I want, if they do not have Jessica Drew in this show, they should have no right calling it Secret Invasion. That's all I'm going to say. Part of me hopes they do the whole Illuminati thing where they're like, this guy died, like Elektra died, she's a fucking Skrull, what the hell? Like, and like the scene, there's a real quick moment where you see a bunch of tables with, like, it looks like almost like tombs. And I'm like, is that everybody in stasis that they replaced? Like,
wow.
There's a scene where I'm like, that's Super Skrull. That guy right there, he is Super Skrull. Because he does like an arm reach and it like stretches and does all the cool shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh man, Super Skrull, here we go. I'm excited for it. I mean, this is all speculation because we can't confirm it.
Yeah. You can't really tell from they're being very cloak and dagger with this series as compared to other series where they just showed a lot more. This is right. Them being very quiet. So maybe they've learned over the past year and a half. Maybe we'll keep stuff close to the chest and then this will be better.
Because after this, we're not getting anything till Loki. And that's in like the fall.
Wow. So that's a long.
Well, they said they're trying to pace them out more. So
yeah, there's pace, but there's too much, you know. You go on too long, then you're like, well, what are you going to fill that gap with? Not more Star Wars.
I don't want to over Star Wars it.
Yeah. You know, we're already enjoying what we're
doing. No. But... Sorry. But as an MCU tie-in. But I think the X-Men 97 is going to be in there somewhere. And there's other stuff.
I thought the X-Men stuff was in the fall as well at the same time.
Let me see if I can find a.
I know they've changed release dates. Because isn't What If supposed to come up too?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I will be happy with What If then, because I really enjoyed the first season of What If. So I'd be happy to see What If season two. So
updated as of today. upcoming movies and shows. Journey to the Center of the Earth comes out today. Crossover comes out today. Good Mother's today. Pope Answers, whatever. Tiny Beautiful Things, Owl House, Season 3. It's All Right, April 12th. Renovations? I don't know. It sounds like it's like renovations and reservations together. I don't know. PJ Masks, Raven's Home, Secret Elephants, Matilda, Sam. Star Wars Young Jedi Adventures, April 26th. Peter Pan and Wendy live action, April 28th. Ooh, Ed Sheeran. Star Wars Vision Season 2, May 4th, for Star Wars Day. Muppet Mayhem, May 10th. Crater, May 12th. Secret Invasion, June 21st. Echo is in summer.
Okay, so they're still doing Echo.
Loki Season 2, summer.
Okay.
Ironheart in the fall. Nemesis in the fall. X-Men 97 in the fall. Agatha in the winter. Dragons of Wonder Hatch in the winter. Ahsoka sometime in 2023 is what it has, but it's probably going to be 24. Aladdin, Avatar Way of the Water sometime at the end of the year. Doctor Who sometime this year, because it's going to be it'll be on there for the 60th anniversary, which is in November. So I imagine it'll be there probably like August or September, so people can catch up on the new Who. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 somewhat by the end of the year. Haunted Mansion sometime in the year. Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny sometime by the end of the year. Marvel What If Season 2, TBD 23. Stan Lee Documentary, TBD 23. Star Wars Skeleton Crew, TBD 23. Little Mermaid Live Action, TBD 23. There's a lot. A lot coming out still this year. And then next year is Daredevil, Andor, Marvel Zombies, Moana the Series, Percy Jackson, Spider-Man Freshman Year, Acolyte, a Star Wars prequel.
I was going to say, wasn't that the Peter Parker was supposed to come out this year?
Yeah. Like I said, I knew they pushed some stuff back. But not a ton, so.
That's weird, though, that you push back your animated ones. But, hey.
Oh, anyway. Yeah, so, yeah, check out Secret Invasion when it comes out. I'm super excited, so.
Yeah, I'm hoping so.
You know, I just hope it doesn't suck. That's my thing. Because like I said, I love it. I love it so much. Like, they did pretty well with doing the Infinity Gauntlet with what they have. So if they do Secret Invasion with what they have, because they don't have Fantastic Four, they don't have the Inhumans, they don't have the X-Men. So it's weird. But I'm really also curious to be like, are we going to find out that everybody that was blipped was actually came back as a Skrull? Because that'd just be weird.
That would mess up their whole thing too.
Because like the main two parts of this story were that Mockingbird was a Skrull, and Hank Pym was a Skrull. Those were the two big things, because Hank then tried to play off like the "I didn't smack you, it was the Skrull," even though like it was after that, like it was real weird. but Tigra ends up being pregnant with Hank's Skrull baby, and Norman Osborn's like a big deal in this too, because he takes over S.H.I.E.L.D. after it's over. So I am very curious. Oh, and Hawkeye plays a big thing in this too. So again, we're going to see what they can do with what they have. So, all right, moving on. So you saw the D&D movie. This is spoiler part, by the way, guys. If you don't want to hear spoilers, now's the time to stop. Mark your time. Come back later, pick it up, go.
Well, I'm not going to say anything about the story. I feel like that will like spoil too much. I just wanted to give like kind of a non-spoiler review for the most part. You know, I'm not going to get into the details, but I enjoyed it as a D&D player, a longtime D&D player, a D&D fan. Mm-hmm. This is the movie we've been waiting for decades. Like, this is the way they should have did it the first time.
Or the second time. This is the third movie, time, remember?
Yeah, and it's a shame that certain company, Wizards of the Coast, didn't have to have such a public debauchery earlier in the year, or this would have been even bigger. I think they actually screwed themselves.
I don't think so.
I think they cost themselves a few million there.
Here. Nope. I don't think so at all. I think the fact that I think that it's the fact that people have such a bad taste from the last time they did this, that they're waiting for people to see it and act and then go. I bet you next week it's going to be like, boom, even bigger.
Yeah, but I have to say the stuff you saw in the previews was not the best part of the movie. So that will tell you how much that is. Yeah, you do get to see these cool creatures. You get to see a dragon in it. You get to see all the stuff that you, we as the D&D community enjoy about D&D. There are funny moments. There are sad moments. There, it is all the spectrum of emotion you get to see. All the characters pretty much play their specific roles because they are playing the roles of characters that we roll as D&D as a
community. Except the fact that a tiefling cannot turn into an owlbear.
Well.
Just throwing that out.
It's a druid, though. I give it a thought as a druid.
Nope. Can't happen. Not allowed. I mean,
well, technically they rewrote the rules.
Technically, they can. They're just not ever supposed to be an owlbear.
Yeah, but...
But the fact that we get an owlbear is pretty sweet. I'm not going to
lie. Yes, yes. Yeah. And you see the owlbear quite a bit.
Cool. All right. So out of five, what would you give it?
I give it a solid 4.5.
Wow. Uh-oh.
There.
Okay, sorry, you froze there for a second.
Okay, there are a few things here and there that was kind of ho-hum, but
yeah.
Overall, for a movie based on D&D, you couldn't have done better. Like, they really knew the fan base, and this is definitely a fan-based movie. Like, my only complaint is I really wish they would have had the theater I went to is my local theater, so they did not have the D20 popcorn bucket. I'm very pissed about that. I'm angry about that. And if you try to go on eBay, $75, these assholes are charging for that.
That's crazy.
So for every person that lists that on eBay, shame on you. You should get kicked in the nuts for it. That's
for the dice tower. Yeah.
No, it's not a dice tower. It's an actual popcorn bucket. It's a popcorn bucket.
It's designed to be a dice tower. You clear out you keep the bucket and it's a dice tower.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know that. The way they made it, it was just you could put it's just a popcorn bucket with a lid on top of it. So
no, I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be a dice tower.
Yeah. But anyway. Me and Mads looked it up on the what people are doing. Someone had four of them. They got four of them.
They took their family. Jerks, I know. So, they're jerks. It's okay.
Scalpers. I hate all scalpers in any shape or form.
All right.
But, you know, other than that, you know, solid. And, you know, like I said, this is the one of those movies you will not be disappointed with. Unless you are like so hardcore and a stickler, you know. If you're that stickler, go hang out with the guys with Bud Light. Okay. You know?
All right. Last thing we're gonna talk about is The Mandalorian. So
now this is spoiler territory.
This week's episode, to me, this felt very filler, like long way around to get to the point.
Yeah. Very underwhelming.
This might have been to me, this was the most, it's not that it was a bad episode, it's just it was the most boring episode of the season.
Yes. It's funny with the guest stars too. It's like, how do you make a boring Star Wars episode
I'll be honest, I don't really like Jack Black, period.
Okay.
Like, the only movie I think I ever actually liked him in was School of Rock. I don't really like Tenacious D.
So you didn't even like his Tenacious D movie?
I don't really like to listen to Tenacious D either. So I mean, Pick of Destiny was okay. It was funny, but I just find him to be a little too much. Most of the time,
I can feel that.
I thought the other two, that's
his personality.
I thought the other two cameos were great. I thought it was cool to see what happens to all the droids, because this is now post episode 6, and we're still seeing fucking droids from the prequels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought that was cool. I thought the Mandalorian fight scene at the end was really good.
Yeah.
I like that it's kind of like the season's very Bo-Katan focused. Although I think that's what some of the other fans don't like. They think that it's like too focused on Bo-Katan.
I can understand that, the fact that it is the Mandalorian and not Bo-Katan.
She's a Mandalorian.
She is.
Sorry, bruh.
She is. But if you're going to do that, she should have had her own spinoff series. If you're going to do that, it's kind of one of those things of, I could see both sides of the fence. And I understand there's always so much money to go around that you're not wanting to do a spinoff of everything. And I get that. I think they learned their lesson from Boba Fett, though. Maybe they should have did a Bo-Katan instead of a Boba Fett. They probably would have been better.
No, I think you're right. I think they did learn their lesson from that. But the other thing is, people have to remember that Boba Fett's still a fucking Mandalorian. So it wasn't wrong calling it Mandalorian Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah.
This is The Mandalorian. So it happens to be focused on a Mandalorian. And then Din is just more the...
side
like
character.
No, he's more the support. Glue that's... No, he's more the focus character that keeps... The glue, he's the thing that's gluing all this shit together.
Yeah.
So it'll eventually, like it did in both Boba Fett and, you know, the other seasons of Mandalorian, by like next week, it'll be back to focusing on just him and everything will be fine for the last couple episodes. So, because we're what, halfway through the season?
I think so.
So.
But I have to say, I did not think I'd ever see Christopher Lloyd in a Star Wars movie.
I never thought I'd see Lizzo in a Star Wars TV show, but I was like, holy crap. And I was like, my wife was like, is that Lizzo? And I'm like, so. So, but it was good.
It was funny, especially since he was like a separatist. I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, Count Dooku was such a great man.
I know, but it was like Count Dooku was right. I was like, oh God. Oh God.
And that's when she shot him. I'm like, oh, thank God he didn't go into that.
No. All right, guys. Well, thanks so much for watching. We'll catch you next week. If you celebrate Easter, happy Easter. Other than that, make sure you go support your local comic shop, no matter what shop it is. Support local comics. So, all right. We'll see everybody later, and have a good one.
See you later, guys.